Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Mem Dalid. We left off on daf Mem Gimel and Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Mem Gimel and Beis. Whenever I run to get the recorder, I'm out of breath in 2 seconds. Okay, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochik Vizor L'Ruach. So if you have an Avodah Zarah, the way to be Mevatel it is to grind it up and throw it into the wind. O matil yam, or to throw it into the ocean. They said, that's not good enough. Avhu nasa zevel, that's going to make it into fertilizer. Meaning, if you grind it up, you throw it into the wind, it'll land in somebody's field, and it'll fertilize somebody's field. So you're still going to be getting hana from it. Shenemar, Pasuk says, l'yibak b'yadcha mu'uma menacherim. You can't get anything from it. And you're going to be getting something from it in that way. So that's machlokas. Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. So it says, tells us, Pirush Rashbam v'kasabri zevzeh gorim asr. That the assumption over here is that the Chachamim say that it's going to be a fertilizer, it's going to be asr, even though the whatever grows as a result of that fertilizer is not only growing from the Avodah Zarah itself, it's growing with a combination of factors. So you see, zevzeh gorim, when there are multiple factors and causing something to grow, we're assuming that that's asr. Rabbi Yossi lo chayish to sever zevzeh gorim mutter. And the reason Rabbi Yossi holds it's mutter is not that he denies the metzius that it could be a fertilizer. Yeah, he admits it might serve as a fertilizer, but even so, whatever grows as a result of it is not growing exclusively because of it, and therefore zevzeh gorim is mutter. And we call makom asr lezavel sadeh lechachila after Rabbi Yossi bezevel shel avodas chavim kimishum eskavin lehanos. But still, Rabbi Yossi, who holds zevzeh gorim is mutter, is not going to say it's okay to go and be mezavel your field with Avodah Zarah, because that you're trying to bedavkaf kavana to get hana from it, that's absolutely not okay. It's just you happen to be grinding up and throwing it into the wind out of the chashash that it might go be mezavel a field that you don't have to worry about. The Rabbanon over here say that we're worried that if you grind it up and you throw it into the wind, it's going to go and fertilize someone's field. Yet the Rabbanon Pesachim, when it comes to chametz, which is also asr b'hana, they said that one of the ways of doing bir chametz is by crumbling it up and throwing it into the wind. Why aren't they worried about it over there? So it says Tosos, no, not a kasha. D'yesh l'chalik gabi chametz k'siv lo yachel v'hilkach eino asr ella. Although the Gemara Pesachim derives that every time it says Lo Yeyachel in the Pasuk, it means Echad Isra Achila v'Echad Isra Hana'a, since the Torah uses it, couches the Isser in the term Achila, the kind of Hana'a that's Asr is only when it's the Derech Hana'a, when that's the normal way to get Hana'a from it. But by Avodah Zarah it says lo yidbak biyadcha ma'uma, that you can't get anything from it, not lo yeyachel minachem v'afilu kolduhu. Sounds like nothing, you can't get any sort of benefit from it, and that's why it's not a steer in the Rabbanan. The other possibility, Tosus points out, inami Rabbanan dahasam hainu Rabbi Yossi dahacha, could be that it's a different Rabbanan. What we refer to as the Rabbanan over there might in fact be Rabbi Yossi Shita. The Bar Plukta over there is Rabbi Yehuda, so it could very well be Rabbi Yossi Shita. So now the Gemara is going to present four different rayos that Rabbi Yossi brought that it's in fact mutter to go and grind it up and throw it into the wind. If you want to get rid of an Avodah Zarah, grinding it up and throwing it into the wind is fine. So Tanya, first raya. Amr lem Rabbi Yossi v'alok v'arnemar pasuk says v'eschat ha'seichem asher sisim ha'seigel l'kachti v'asrof oso be'esh v'akos ha'sotoch v'netev ad asher dak li'afar v'ashlich ha'safar v'alenach ha'layari min ahar. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael after they sinned with the Chet Ha'egel, I took your egel, I took your Avodah Zarah, I burnt it in fire, and then I ground it up, tachan heitev, until it was dakla afar, until it was like dust, and I threw the afar into the nachal, into the river, ayorid minahar, that descends from the mountain. So what's the raya? So Rashi is a little out of place over here. If you look at Rashi, it's about 10 lines in on the page, 8 lines on the page. Rashi says, v'eschataschem, mive'ekoso so tachon kamosiv. We're asking from the phrase in the pasuk where he says that I ground it up. Avol mi ve'esrof lav tiyuftihi de kol kamed de lo shachik le mechuber ba'adadi ve'no nasa zevel. He says the fact that it also happens to mention that he burns it is not at all a tiyufta, because if it's still attached together as one unit, so it's not going to become zevel, it's not going to be able to be used as zevel. It's only able to be used as zevel when it's ground up into a dust-like powder. So that's really where the raya is from the fact that it's ground up into a dust-like powder. Apparently that's how Moshe Rabbeinu got rid of it. So you see that that's a valid way to destroy Avodah Zarah. Now, if you look at the bottom Tosfos on Mem Gimel and Beis, he quotes Rashbam and Rashi, both saying that the Raya is from the fact that it's being ground up, and he says that he has trouble with it. He says, V'kasha l'ri, v'chi hayi Rabbi Yossi ta'obezeh shloi azarka l'mayim, v'haba oso posuk atzmo, d've'akoso soksiv, ashlucha safaro, ela nachla, yorim minar, dynamayim ayirudim. Meaning, what's the whole point? That the Chacham would say, you can't just throw it into the wind, you need to throw it into the ocean. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, look in the posuk, he ground it up. Obviously, if he ground it up, he threw it into the wind. What, Rabbi Yossi didn't read the rest of the pasuk? The rest of the pasuk says he threw it into the nachal. The nachal is a stream, it's a brook. He threw it into the water. He didn't grind it up and throw it into the wind. It's beferish in the pasuk. He threw it into the water. How could Rabbi Yossi use this as a raya? Va'od, maya, so that we'll leave out the next kasha because that relies on knowing the answer of the Gemara already. So if you skip further, it also says, L'chein nira l'faresh, de Rabbi Yossi asefa da'ash l'chasafar al anachal samech. That Rabbi Yossi, in fact, was asking his kasha based on that the seifa of the pasuk, where he says, I threw it to the nachal. Alma lozark liyam. And there's a chilik between throwing into a river, a stream, a brook, and throwing into the ocean. Big chilik. Alinahar, vinar, reinu el kamo zar l'ruach. When you throw it into a river, that's the same as throwing it into the wind, where it's going to come back and be used as fertilizer again. Shekein derech naharos shemiskashim imeim refesh v'tit al gidoseim. Because a river very often will deposit on the river banks all sorts of refuse of the river, and sometimes that could be used as fertilizer. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't worried about that, so throwing it into the river was the equivalent of throwing it into the wind, and that's Rabbi Yossi's raya. Not like Rashi says that the raya is from the fact that he ground it up, and if he ground it up, he must have actually thrown it into the wind, because that's against the end of the pasuk itself. So anyway, so how did the Rabbanu respond to that raya? Fourth line on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Amar Lo Misham Raya. They said back to him, "What, you think that's a Raya? Haray Omer Vayozav Al Pnei Amayim Vayashkas Pnei Yisrael Lo Niskaven El Vodkan Kesotos." It says that he went and he took it and put it on. He took the ash, the dirt, the ground up dirt of the Egel. He put it in the water and he gave them to drink from that water, meaning he treated them like an Isha Sota, that the drink was going to determine whether in fact they were guilty or they were not guilty. In the Pan Miyafos and Parshas Kisisa, he says that they definitely had a din of a Nesua and not a din of a Narusa, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kafaleim Har Kegigis, that was their Chuppah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over their heads, that had a din of Chuppah. And the halach is in Sota Chav Gimel and Beis, a Narusa doesn't drink Mei Sota. The fact that they were forced to drink what was the equivalent of Mei Sota is a raya that they had a din of a nesua. Also, interestingly, there is a Gemara Maseches Yuma Samach Vavam Beis that tells us that there are three different groups of people who were involved with the Egel. Zavach v'katar b'sayef. If a person actually slaughtered something to the Egel or burnt incense to the Egel, did a Maisa of a Vodazar of a very high level, so he's chayiv sayef. Gafaf v'nashak b'misa. If a person hugged or kissed the Egel, so he's chayiv misa. Samach b'libo behidroken. The Gemara says if all he did, he didn't do any maisa, it was just in his heart that he was happy about the egel, so then he suffered a disease called hidroken. So the Rabbeinu Bechai points out that our Gemara must be referring to that third group, that the people who didn't do any maisa, so there was no edim and asra or anything like that, because there was no maisa involved, they were just samach b'libam. So in order to show who was guilty and who was not, Moshe Rabbeinu needed a trick where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to paskin, because otherwise, who else could be bodek machshavos, who else is going to know what was going on in a person's mind? So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did this test. He didn't just allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to just carry it out behidroken without this test, because then people would say, oh, maybe it's for some other avera. This way it's very evident that it was for this Avera, this is why they're suffering, and it will be very clear that justice is served. Interestingly, the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita Perek Yudal Halacha Yud Beis writes that when you do Kisui Adam after shechting a chay or an oaf, so you're allowed to take ground up gold and use that for Kisui Adam, because that's also called Afar. And the Rambam says, he quotes a pasuk in Iyov, Afar Zavlo, but he also quotes a pasuk Ad Asher Dak Li Afar, Pazganekev, that Moshe Rabbeinu ground up the egel ad asher dak la'afar, till it was ground up into afar, into dirt. So you see that ground up gold is called dirt. So the Chasam Sofer Maseches Chulin brings a raya from our Gemara, because in our Gemara the halacha is that a sota has to drink from water that had afar sota mixed into it. It has to have afar mixed into it. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu give them to drink from this water? He just ground up gold into it. He didn't. There was no afar. Elamai, you see that ground up gold also has the din of afar. So it has the din of afar legabe kisei adam as well. Okay, raya number two that Rabbi Yossi brings to the Chachamim. Amar lahem Rabbi Yossi. So again, Rabbi Yossi is trying to prove that if you grind up the avodah zarah and throw it into the wind, that's fine. You don't have to worry about zevel, that it's going to go and be fertilizer for someone's field, and therefore that someone's going to get enough from it. So Amar lahem Rabbi Yossi proves this point. Fa'lo kfar ne'emar, the pasuk says, let's read the exact text of the pasuk as we have it. The pasuk says, v'gam ma'acha eim asa hamelech hesira migivira asher asa l'asher mefletzes v'ichros asa es mefletzta v'yadok v'yisrof benachal kidron. Asa took his mother out of power, right? Macha was the aim Asa HaMelech, was the mother of Asa HaMelech, so he took her out of power, and he took her maflatzda, which is apparently her avodah zarah. The Gemara will discuss that in a second, and he ground it up and he burnt it in Nachal Kidron. So you see that the fact that he ground it up, so you see obviously if he ground it up, so grinding an avodah zarah up and being zarah l'ruach is good enough. So, and he threw it in Nachal Kidron. Nachal Kidron is a valley that grows things. So apparently he wasn't worried about it serving as a fertilizer. Amr lo misham raya Nachal Kidron in Megadol Tzmach. And he says, no, that's not a raya the Chacham say back. Nachal Kidron can't grow anything. So you grind it up and you put it directly in Nachal Kidron. You don't have to worry about it being used as a fertilizer. You throw it into the wind, though, it could end up anywhere, and that's where you would have to worry. So that's not a raya. So frak the Gemara v'lo, what, you think Nachal Kidron can't grow anything? The Mishnah says that the blood that goes from the outside Mizbeach and from the inside Mizbeach gets mixed in together and goes and gets drained out to Nachal Kidron, and once it's drained out to Nachal Kidron, it's used as a fertilizer and sold to gardeners as a fertilizer. So don't tell me that Nachal Kidron doesn't grow anything. You see beferish that it's used as a fertilizer when it goes out to Nachal Kidron. Now Tos points out there's a simple answer the Gemara could have said. The Gemara could just answer that Hayyachal Tarit Shaganonim Hayu Mimakum Acher. Who says that the gardeners that were buying it were from Nachal Kidron? Maybe they were buying that which was deposited out into Nachal Kidron, gathering it up and bringing it back home. Tosfos does not give an answer as to why it is that the Gemara doesn't answer that. Anyway, the Gemara's real answer is Mekamos, Mekamos, Yeshbo. There are different parts of Nachal Kidron. Yesh Makom Megadol Tzmachim, Yesh Makom Shein Megadol Tzmachim. Some parts of Nachal Kidron can grow things, other parts of Nachal Kidron cannot grow things. The Iyun Yaakov asks that the Gemara Maseches Makos says in the Pasuk, Nivza Be'in of Nimas, Pasuk in Tehillim, that's a reference to Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, who dragged his father's bones on a mitah shel chavalim, as a way of being mevaza the fact that his father was Ovid Avodah Zarah. So asks the Iyun Yaakov, why only Chizkiyo? Why not focus as well on Asa for doing the same thing to his mother by knocking his mother out of power, knocking Malcha out of power as a result of her Avodah Zarah? Right? Shouldn't that be an equal fulfillment of the Pasuk? So the Iyun Yaakov says, no, Asa did it while his mother was still alive as a way of punishing her and as a way of hoping, of discouraging her from doing Avodah Zarah anymore. As opposed to Chizkiyo, did it after his father was already dead, and he already had a kapara. That was the point. He already had his kapara b'misa, and nevertheless, he still did it. Now, that's an interesting idea, that he had a kapara b'misa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Zayin Mem Beis, says, misa alone is not mechaper. You need kavura, ichul basar, you need to actually have the kavura and the decomposition of the flesh in order for it to really be a kapara. So Shar Mitzion and Balacha points out that in Tosiyantav and Pesachim, he's medayik in the words. It doesn't say Chizkiyahu was gorer the gufo shel aviv, the body of his father. It says atzmos aviv, the bones of his father, implication being that it already had been buried and decomposed. So he already had his kapara, and then Chizkiyo went and made the whole point of it. And that's the pasuk of, that's the drush of, that the Gemara Makos has from the pasuk, Nivza Be'in of Nimas. Anyway, once we mentioned that Malacha had this maflatzes, so asks the Gemara, my maflatzda, what is a maflatzda? I'm reviewed the Dava Mafli Leitzanusa. Her Avodah Zarah was an incredible Leitzanus. Kidetani Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef taught what she used to do, is Kamin Zachrus Asala, she made it in the shape of a male male organ on the Avodah Zarah Vaisa Nevelis L'Bechol Yom, and she had Bia with it every day. So it was an incredible Etzanos that she did with the Avodah Zarah. Raya number three that Rabbi Yossi brings, that it's mutter to take an Avodah Zarah, grind it up and throw it into the wind, and you don't have to worry about fertilizer. Amalan Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says, V'lo Kfar Nemar, Pasuk says, V'chitas Nachash Nechoshes Asheras Moshe, that they ground up, Moshe Rabbeinu ground up the Nachash Nechoshes that he had made. So Amalan, they said back to Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, you think that's a Raya, just because Moshe ground it up, that's a viable way of getting rid of an Avodah Zarah. Hareyu Omer, keep in mind, how did that Nachash Nechoshes come into being? Pasuk says, V'yomer Hashem El Moshe, Asei Lecha Saraf, make for yourself a serpent, Lecha Mishalcha, which implies Moshe Rabbeinu had to use his own money for it. So who owned that Nachash Nechoshes that people worshipped? Moshe Rabbeinu was the owner. And the halacha is, Eino D'Mosu Davar Sheino Shalom. Other people bowing down to it can't make it usher. If I walk out of my house one morning and find my neighbor bowing down to my car is still 100% mutter. He can't usher my car. So Moshe Rabbeinu owned this serpent. They can't usher it. It was really technically mutter. Vasam Bedinu D'Ketusei L'Avatzarech. And really, Maker Adin, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to grind it up at all. Elikivin D'Chazad D'Katol Yisrael Basrei Amen V'Kitso. The whole thing that he did was a Midas Chasidus. He saw that Klal Yisrael was doing Averus because of it, so he decided on his own to grind it up. But as far as having an actual Isser of Avodah Zarah, absolutely not. It did not have an Isser of an Avodah Zarah. The fourth and final Raya Rabbi Yossi brings, Amr Lehem V'alok V'arnem V'yazvi Shamas Tzveyem V'yisayim David V'anashav, that then when David fought one of the wars, the Goyim left their Atzveyem, their Avodah Zarahs, and the way we're assuming to translate V'yisayim David V'anashav is David and his men scattered them. Sounds like he ground up the Avodah Zarah and scattered the Avodah Zarah. So my mashmid, I have Yisayim David Lishon Dizriyahu. Who told you the word Vayisayim means scattered them? So answer Markad, Umetagim Rav Yosef, Tizram Ruach Tisayim, Umetagaminon, Tazrinon Veruach Titaltalinun. That you scatter them and then the Ruach will send them about, will carry them all over the place. So you see that it is a lashon of scattering. Amrullah, they said, Misham Raya, you think that's a Raya from what David HaMelech's men did? Hareyu Omer, Pasuk says, Vayisrafu Be'esh, Umidaloksiv Vayisrafayim Vayisayim. Pasuk says, they burnt it in fire. It does not say, from the fact that it does not say Vayisrafayim Vayisayim, Shema Mina Vayisayim Mamish. So you see that they literally carried them away, that they took them with them, and they got Hana from it. So apparently David originally told his men to burn them, and then they actually Vayisayim, they actually took them. So Mikal Makom Kashu Karaya Dadi, but how does that make sense? If David told them to burn them, how did they go and they take them and carry them? Kid Rav Huna, so says Gemara, like Rav Huna answers. The Rav Huna Rami, because Rav Huna asked the following stira. Ksiv Vayomer David Yisru Be'esh, Uksiv Vayisayim. He asks that same stira. Pasuk says David told them to burn it, and Pasuk says Vayisayim. Lo kasha kan kodem shaba itay hagiti, kal no acher shaba itay hagiti. David had itay hagiti come and be mevatel the Avodah Zarah, because we learned that halacha is novid chavim kum be mevatel Avodah Zarah shel chavero. So David had itay hagiti come be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Once he was mevatel the Avodah Zarah, they no longer needed to burn it. Then they were able to just carry it away. Then it wasn't a problem anymore. So that's why that's the answer to the steer in the pasuk tichsiv. Ve'yikach esateres malko me'al rosho u'mishkala kikar zahav. That it says that he took the crown of, now literally it means Malkum, of their king, and he put it on his head, right, from his head, he took it off of the king's head, and it weighed a kikar zahav. Now, the way the Gemara is understanding it is, not a teres Malkum, the crown of their king, but a teres milkom. It's a milkom is one of the names of Avodah Zarah. It's mentioned in Navi, that he found the crown of an Avodah Zarah, and he took it. That David HaMelech took the crown of an Avodah Zarah. So, frankly, Gemara, Mishari Yisuri Ananin, how is he allowed to do that? It's Asabanah. So Amrav Nachman Itayagiti Baal Bitla. So that was David's secret weapon. He had Itayagiti come and go and be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So that's how David managed to do that. Now the Tosfos points out, why did he need Itayagiti? He could have taken any any Ovid Kochavim to be Mevatel, and we learned yesterday that even Bal Karcho, you're even allowed to force an Ovid Kochavim to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah. So even if you couldn't find any willing Ovid Kochavim, why didn't you just force another Ovid Kochavim to go and be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah? Furthermore, Abaye said previously that if you break the Avodah Zarah within the Shita of Reish Lakish, if you break the Avodah Zarah, even a Jew can be Mevatel Avodah Kochavim Shel Ovid Kochavim, because it's no different than Shvura, than if it breaks on its own. So why didn't David just smash it and break it? What do you have to worry about burning it when it's just David? So Tosa says they have to be mechalik between Avodah Zarah is made out of different materials, made out of metal versus made out of wood, that they may not all have the same mode of bittul. But anyway, the Gemara now gets into a side discussion. Once we mentioned that David found this crown that was Mishkala Kikar Zahav, so I asked the Gemara, that's extremely heavy. Mishkala Kikar Zahav, Hechi Matzi Manachla, how did David put that on his head? It must have crushed his head. It was so heavy. No, it doesn't mean that it actually went on David's head. It meant that it could have gone on David's head. It fit David. Second approach, there are going to be three approaches in total. Second approach is that no, it had a magnet where it wasn't actually on David's head. The way Tosfos explains this is David sat on the throne, there was a magnet on the throne above his head and a magnet on the crown, so the crown sort of just hovered right above his head, but the weight of the crown was not on his head, and that's how he managed it. So that was the cool system they had worked out. Reb Lazar says a third possibility, not that it actually weighed Kikar Zahav. Mishkala doesn't mean its weight. Evin Yakara Isabah Shashava Kikar Zahav. Mishkala means shakul. It was equal to a Kikar Zahav. It had a precious stone whose value was the same value as a full Kikar of Zahav, as a full talent of gold. Zosai Siliki Pikudachon Otsarti. And David HaMelech says, this came to me because I watched over God's laws. So my karma, what's he talking about? Halki karma. Bishar Shepikudachon Otsarti. Zosai Silila Edus. Because I'm such a good Jew, that's why God gave me this crown as testimony to my righteousness, my edu. So why is it at all testimony? How does the fact that you wear a fancy crown testimony to anything other than the fact that you have something, you have an expensive piece of jewelry? Now the point is, he put it right where the tefillin go, which is the front of the head, which is not a perfect circle, and still the crown fit. If you have a perfect circle, you would need to lean back normally in order to fit around the head, but to wear it straight in the front, since the head is a little bit oval shaped, it wasn't a perfect circle, and it still fit him, so that's the raya that he was worthy. The fact that the crown should not have fit a normal human head, and nevertheless it fit him. That's how Tosfos explains it. So, frankly, Gemara of Abaye Anuchei Tefillin, how did he put the crown in the place where tefillin were? You have to keep in mind, they didn't just wear tefillin for davening back in those days. They wore tefillin all day. So, Abaye Anuchei Tefillin, he had to put tefillin on. So, how did he have room for the crown and his tefillin? Amar Shom Barav Yitzchak, Makom Yesh Baro, Sharoi Laniach Boshtei Tefillin. This is a Maimer Chazal we have all over Shas. There's enough room on the head to put two pairs of tefillin. Meaning, even if you have something in the spot of the tefillin, there isn't one spot of the tefillin. The spot of the tefillin is large enough that you can actually fit two pairs of tefillin. It's a major discussion in the Rishonim. What does that mean, two pairs of tefillin? One in front of the other, or side by side, one next to the other? So in the Tshuvas Divrei Chaim, in Chelek Bei Simen Vav, he discusses the minhag that people have of looking in a mirror to see if their tefillin is on straight. And he says, Divrei Borusheim, it's Amaratzus, what are they doing this for? It doesn't matter if it's on straight, because Makom Yesh Barosh, Laniach Shnei Tefillin. Because even if it's off-center, there's enough room on the head, the Makom Tefillin is wide enough, you could fit two sets of tefillin on that area. So all the Akronim ask on the Divrei Chaim, most of the Rishonim, the large majority of the Rishonim assume Makom Yesh Barosh Laniach Shnei Tefillin means front and back. It does not mean side by side. In which case it makes plenty of sense to want to make sure that it's exactly centered. Beis Yosef says that it's possible to read within the Rambam that the Rambam means that Makom Yesh Barosh means even side by side. But Pasha Pshat, Beis Yosef says, is even the Rambam doesn't hold that way. Is the large majority of Rishonim hold that it means front and back, not side by side. The There is a Tshuvas HaRivash where he says that someone who's who has some sort of ailment on his head, where he's got pus and blood coming out of his head, and he doesn't want to put his tefillin, he's afraid the tefillin will be damaging to him, that he could be somech on the Shitas HaRashba that holds that the tefillin Shel Rosh could be put on top of a hat, that the tefillin are on top of a cloth, that the tefillin, you're allowed to have a chatzitza for tefillin Shel Rosh. It's a major chiddush of the Rashba. Rashba holds you're allowed to have a chatzitza for tefillin Shel Rosh, la halacha. So everyone asks from this Gemara, what's the Gemara's passion about the crown, if really you're allowed to have a chatzitza on the tefillin Shel Rosh? So it could just be that it couldn't fit, the tefillin wouldn't stay balanced on top of a crown, that a chatzitza maybe is mutter. That's an important maramakam, that Rashba, because when they talk about how much hair is a chatzitza for tefillin, so chassidim shave their heads because they want to make sure that there's no chatzitza whatsoever. Or if someone grows a chup, someone has a, you know, long hair in the front, is it really any major issue of tefillin? Remember, we had someone in the shul for a while had a pretty long hair, and he said, his Sephardi guy said, Ravadia holds its mutter. So Itaka looked into the issue. Ravadia says, Meikra din it's mutter. He says, look, it's better not to have long hair. He's not a big fan of long hair, but he says, Meikra din, it's not a problem of chatzitza. One of the sniffing that they use is this Shitas HaRashba, who holds that you're allowed to have a chatzitza. But even if you don't pass on the Rashba, the stomach hair is not going to be a problem anyway, unless it moves the tefillin out of place. Okay, anyway, says Gvar Viter, they took out the son of the king and they put on him the Nezer and the Eidus. Nezer Zuklila, Nezer is a reference to the crown. Eidus, Amr Vidom Rav, Eidus Lubestovich, Kalaroil Malchus, Olamto, Kalshainoil Malchus, Eno Lamto. And Eidus is the fact that the crown served as testimony that someone who's Roy for the Malchus, the crown fit on his head. If you're not Roy for the Malchus, the crown wouldn't fit on your head. Vadoniyah ben Chagis Misnasi Limar Aniamloch. And when Adoniyah tried to rebel and say that he was going to be the king, so he said, I'm going to be the king. I'm Rav Yudom Rav. What that means is he tried to fit the crown on his head, but the crown did not fit on his head. That was one of the miracles of this crown, is that it only fit on worthy descendants of the Beis David. It didn't fit on those who were not worthy to become the king. Once we mentioned about Adonio's rebellion, so there's a very strange pasuk. Pasuk says that he had 50 men run in front of him. So the Gemara says, Myra Busaihu, 50 men, I mean, that's a big deal. You have a lot of people that could have, get 50 Meshuganas to follow them and to run for them. So what does it mean? That's a great sign of his success. What was so special about these 50 men? So Tana Kulam Nutule Tachul V'chakuke Kapal Shraglayim Hayu. No, these 50 men were very dedicated. They had their spleens removed, and they had the nerves at the bottom of their feet also removed, so that they were able to really run. That they were able to run extremely fast because they didn't have any feeling at the bottom of the feet. They were able to run on anything. Barefoot, they didn't feel anything. That's what was special about these 50 men. They were really Moser Nefesh for him. I think last time we had that Gemara, that appears in Shas in a couple of places. I think our local podiatrist, Josh Prero, said that there is some relationship between the spleen and the nerve endings on the feet. I don't know, he had some sort of medical explanation for it. He might have come back the next day and said that he was wrong, but at least for a moment at least we had a geschmack of okay. Anyway, so says the Mishnah. Shol Pruklus ben Pelusfus is Ram Gamliel ba'acho. Pruklus ben Pelusfus asked Ram Gamliel in acho shayirochitz b'merchat shel Afruditi, when Ram Gamliel was bathing in the merchats in the bathhouse of Afruditi. So Amrlei, so he says to him, Kasu b'taraska, and it says in your Torah, Ram Gamliel liyid ba'ak biyad chamu umam menacherim, that you're not allowed to get anything from an avodah zara. Mnemata rochitz b'merchat shel Afruditi. What are you doing in the bathhouse of Afruditi? It's a bathhouse of an avodah zara. What are you doing here? Amrlo ein meshiv b'merchat. He says, oh, can't respond when I'm in the bathhouse. Ukshiyatza, once he got out, Amrlo, he says, okay, now I'll respond to you. He said as follows, Ani lo basi b'gvula, hi ba'al b'gvuli. I didn't go into I didn't create a bathhouse where there happened to have been an avodah zara. The avodah zara came into a public bathhouse, so it doesn't have to ruin my life. Einom nasa merchatz noy la afruditi, elom nasa afruditi noy la merchatz. People don't say, "Oh, let's make a bathhouse as a decoration for the idol." People say, "Let's take a statue and make the statue a decoration for the bathhouse." So the statue came into a public bathhouse. Not my problem. So furthermore, he says, Davracher, im nosen chamamun harbe iata nichnas avodas kam shalcha arum u balkeri mashin b'chaneha. If they would give you a lot of money, you still would never go into your base of avodah zara unclothed, a bal kari and urinating in front of it. Zua medes al pi abiv. This statue stands by the biv. It stands by the gutter where all of the gross things come out of the bathhouse. V'kala mashtina lefanai, and everyone urinates right in front of it. So you think that's an avodah zarah? Lo nemar ela Eloheihem es shenoi bo mishum Eloah aser. Only that which they treat with the respect of a god is aser. This they treat with total bizayim. Es sheinu noi bo mishum Eloah mutter. That which they don't treat with Eloah, they don't treat as a god, is going to be totally mutter. Who was this guy that was asking Ramiel the question? So Rashi says he was a min of Ovid Kochavim Haya. He was an apikoros who was an Ovid Kochavim. So how does Rashi know that it was an Ovid Kochavim? Maybe it was just someone who had maybe he was an atheist. I don't know. Maybe it was someone who just had a sincere kasha for Rabbi Gamliel. How do we know that he's a min Ovid Kochavim? So the Shoshanim L'David quoted in the Shar Metzion Ba'alach over here says that it's from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel said to him, in Nosen L'chamom and Harbe Iyata Nichnas La'avodus Kochavim Shalacha Arum. Rav Gamliel said to him, look, if they would have given you all the money in the world, you never would go to your Avodah Zarah this way, implying that this guy had an Avodah Zarah. This happened to have not been it. This Avodah Zarah was not his Avodah Zarah, because after all, Rav Gamliel said to him, you would never go in front of your Avodah Zarah the way you just went in front of this, but he must have had another Avodah Zarah. So that's how you see that it must be that this guy was in fact a min Ovid Kochavim. In the Gilyon HaShas, he quotes over here the Turei Even. In the Gilyon HaShas, he points out to look in the Turei Even in Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Now, what's the Shaychus to the Turei Even, Chagiga Yud Gimel Amud Beis? So over there, the Turei Even is Matari, it's the Kash of Tosos. Tosos says, Ein Mosin Divrei Torah La'akum. You're not allowed to teach Torah to a guy because the Pasuk says, Lo Asa Chen L'chol Gai. So asks Tosfos, why based on the Pasuk of Lo Asa Chen L'chol Gai? Shouldn't we say that it's Aser based on the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, that it's Lifnei Iver because a guy who learns Torah is Chayiv Misa, so it's Lifnei Iver to teach it to a guy? Why do you need a separate Pasuk of Lo Asa Chen L'chol Gai? That's Tosfos Kasha Masech Chagiga. Turei Even is Metarets, that when the Gemara says that you're Chayiv Misa, it's because of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha, that Lanu Morasha V'lo Lahem. Why is a guy Chayiv Misa for learning Torah? Because it's ours and he's stealing it. It's Geneva. So says the Turei Even, if we go and teach it to him willingly, then it's not Geneva, then it's not Lanu Morasha V'lo Lahem. And therefore the Gemara in Chagiga uses a pasuk of Lawasach in the Chol Gai to teach me that you're not allowed to teach a guy Torah even absent the Geneva element of it. Why does the Gilyon HaShas point to that Turei Even? It's a very nice Turei Even. What's it got to do with us? Because apparently this Min Ovid Kochavim asked Rav Gamliel a Shaila, and he starts giving him a whole shir. He starts giving him all these terutzim. That no, the halacha is this way. Now, when it comes into my house, now when I come in, when I'm not coming into its house, etc. So well, what's he going through giving him this whole shir? So that's what a lot of the Archonim say, that the Isser is only when the Akum wants to know the Dine Torah. But when he's coming lekanter, he's coming to try to catch us, to trip us up. So then you're allowed, Adrab, it's a mitzvah, Kiddush Hashem, to go and to be Meshav Lahem and to respond to them. Fine, but what part of his response was, that which they don't treat as an aloha is mutter. This is important. Rav Moshe quotes this in Yardaya, Simon Samach Tes, Nigros Moshe. He says, can you buy stamps that have a cross on them? Postal stamps that have a cross on them. So he says, totally mutter, because they lick it, stick it on an envelope, and then throw the envelope in the garbage. So he says, that's not knowing bo aloha. That's not, they don't treat it as a god. And therefore, it's completely mutter. He doesn't think it's a problem. Could also be mutter because they were never mishtachav it to it or do anything to it. It's purely a noy bialma. It's definitely only decorative in nature. Furthermore, Rav Moshe says it's most likely that it's not even usher to look at a cross because it's not really the Avodah Zarah. It's just some sort of sign for an Avodah Zarah, but it's not the Avodah Zarah itself. He says, harchaka min akiyur, we should stay away from it as much as possible. But really, the cross itself is not the Avodah Zarah. This is what we discussed a couple of days ago. You have to look in the old versions of the Shulchan Aruch. It seems that there was some censorship, but the Rama really seems to say that it's just Tziva Ariv does have a din of an avodah zara in the pre-censored versions of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, anyway, says the Gemara Vayter Vehechi Avadachi. How could Rabbi Gamliel respond to him while in the bathhouse that you're not allowed to answer in the bathhouse? Meaning, he just told him a halacha. How are you allowed to do that? Vam Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochel Mechal Makom Mutter La Aruchutz Beis Amerchutz Beis Hakise, that it's always mutter to be maharer only as long as you're outside of the Beis Amerchutz. So obviously Rabbi Gamliel thought of these answers in the Beis Amerchutz and said to the guy, I can't answer you now. But how is he allowed to be mahar in the Beis Amerchutz? V'chitem b'loshon chol amarlein, if you're going to say that he said it to him b'loshon chol, he spoke to him as a, you know, in a mundane way, saying just that I'm not allowed to answer here. V'am rabbi d'varm shal chol mutter l'omer b'loshon chol, d'sharm shal chol d'shat asul omer b'loshon chol. Still, he taught him a halacha, so it's still kodesh what he taught him. So how is he allowed to say that in the Merchutz? So tana k'shi yatza amar lo'ein m'shivim b'merchutz. So you have to say that he didn't respond immediately. It's only when they went outside that he first told him, by the way, I wasn't allowed to respond earlier because I was in the Merchatz. But in Rechinami, he would not be allowed to respond while in the Merchatz, even to say such a halacha that you're not allowed to respond in the Merchatz. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't ask a stira on Rabbi Gamliel himself, that Rabbi Gamliel violated his own halacha. He said, in Meshivim v'Merchatz, the Gemara, instead of asking from Rabbi Abraham and Rabbi Yochanan, could have asked a stira on Rabbi Gamliel, in Meshivim v'Merchatz, what do you mean? You were just Meshivim v'Merchatz. Okay. Amar Abraham bar Yosef Baribi Amar Aboshia, Shuvah Genuva Yeshiv, I think Tosa has that kind. But anyway, Tshuva Genuva Yeshiva Ram Gamliel La Osa Hegmon. Ram Gamliel's response to that Hegmon was in fact not a correct answer. He was just trying to push him off, trying to trick him. He wasn't really giving him the correct answer. Vaniyo Mer Eino Genuva. But that's what my Rebbe says. But I hold that it was a correct answer. So my Genuva say, what was incorrect about the answer? The Gemara is going to have four suggestions. We probably won't get to all four today. But what was incorrect about the suggestion? So number one, the Kamala Zua Medes Al Piyabi V'Kala Demashim B'Fanea. He says that this is obviously not an avodah zara because it stands by the gutter and everyone urinates in front of it. There's an avodah zara called Baal Pa'ar where they defecate in front of it all the time and it's still an avodah zara. So that's not a raya, the fact that they urinate in front of it. But the Talmud says, no, I hold, Eino Genuva, was a perfectly valid answer. Thing about Baal Pa'ar is that that's the way it was meant to be worshipped. So that's why it's not mevatel l'shem avodah zara from it. But this avodah zara is not meant to be worshipped in that way, so it is mevatel l'shem avodah zara. Number two, Amar Abaye's second answer that we have of why it's a tshuva genuva. Genuva samehacha, Abaye says, it's from here. Dekamalei ani lo basi begvula vihiba begvuli. Rabbi Gamliel says, I didn't come to its house, it came into a public merchatz. V'chiba begvula mayhavi, that implies that if Rabbi Gamliel had come into its place, it would be problematic. But is that really a problem? V'atanan avod zcham sheish lamerchatz ogina nenin mehen shalom b'tova ve'nenin b'tova, that you're allowed to get ana from a gina or a merchatz associated with an avodah zara as long as you don't show gratitude to the priests of that avodah zara. So it's mutter to be in the garden. Someone asked me a shayla once, their law firm had scheduled some sort of event in the garden. No, Jeff, in the garden of a church, and they wanted to know, you're allowed to go to such an event in the garden of a church. So it happened to be there was a revolt of the frum lawyers in the firm anyway, where they said they weren't going to go anyhow. But technically, mikra din, it's probably mutter. Vaniyomer ain't a gnu this gemara, right? You're allowed to go to the garden, even if it does have a status of an avodah zara. Vaniyomer ain't a gnuva, but I hold that the teretz is not a tshuva gnuva. Shelo betovas Rav Gamliel kibetovas acherim dami, because even if it's Rav Gamliel were to go shelo betovas, his presence is like betovas. It's as if he were expressing his gratitude to those priests. Okay, we'll go through the next two answers of why it's a tshuva gnuva. Bezos Hashem tomorrow.